Warning. This podcast may contain spoilers from whatever TV show or movie is mentioned. Please listen at your own discretion. Welcome to Viewers Anonymous.
Yo, what's going on? I am Scoots Bronson.
And I am S. Foster.
That's right, and you're tuned into another episode of the Viewers Anonymous podcast where we give you our very own reviews and takes for movies and TV straight out of Hollywood. I would ask you how you doing, but I feel like we all are at the same precipice of elation and excitement. we are recording this podcast right now, but if you are listening to this podcast, I'm sure you are probably also on alert waiting for Drake or Kendrick to drop another diss track. So, man, listen, it's been a hell of a weekend, brother. I will say that.
Yes.
So we are dropping this episode late. I just got to say this. We are dropping this episode late. We were supposed to record Friday and diss tracks just kept falling out the sky. So, you know what I'm saying? We was like, hey, we got to do it 28 minutes or less. We went ahead and recorded that instead. And, we were going to record Saturday after that, but then more diss tracks came, and we was like, hey. ain't nobody about to listen to no podcast that ain't talking about that. So we waited, and I think we made the right move, because goodness gracious, it's been nothing but fire, you know what I'm saying, dropping out the sky, man. The sky, it has fallen. But today, man, we are covering a hilarious movie. This is one that, for me, came at the right time, especially around the time that it came. It was surrounded by a bunch of other hilarious films, but this one is right up there at the tippy top for me. We're talking about Forgetting Sarah Marshall today. It came out in 2008. It was rated R, and it has a 1 hour and 51 minute runtime. It stars Kristen Bell, Jason Segel, Paul Rudd, Mila Kunis, Russell Brand, Bill Hader, and boatload of others to match. If I went down this cast, it'll probably take about 10-15 minutes to do so. So let's just stop it there. First and foremost, you've seen this movie before. You know what I'm saying? This isn't a new joint that we got. So rewatching this, you know what I'm saying? I know you laughed, I know you laughed like crazy, but was there anything in this that you caught where you was like, damn, I didn't see that the first time, or anything that was brought to your attention that you may have missed or whatever?
That's a good question. I felt like something had came up that I really didn't notice before, but this movie, man, it got so many one-liners and oh man, I'm trying to think, because it was something that did caught my eye, but man, it's so much. But like before, so I watched it again today when I could, because it's hard not to stop checking social media because this weekend has been so crazy, man. So it's been hard to completely focus, man, because it's so much rap beef going on right now. But man, that's a good question. Is there something that stood out to you that you didn't notice before? I can't really think of anything. Yeah.
So I haven't watched this in like a long, long time, but Russell Brand's character, Aldous Snow, is the main character of Get Him to the Greek.
Yeah.
And I totally forgot about the fact that these two movies are connected because of that. So they did a whole other movie with Aldous Snow and everything that he was going on with Get Him to the Greek. But this one was kind of like our introduction to who Aldous Snow is. And like, and at this time he was like the man at the time. So that was the main thing that really stood out to me, because as I was watching it and they said his name, I'm like, damn, I know that name sounds familiar. But and then it hit me, I'm like, oh, that's Get Him to the Fucking Greek. So that was cool. But a real quick synopsis, man, this movie is about a what is his job? A scorer?
He was a composer.
A composer, yeah. He's a composer who works for this TV show where his girlfriend is the star of, and you know what I'm saying, they eventually break up, and in the midst of the breakup, he ends up landing a room at the same hotel that she's at, and he ends up pretty much finding love outside of what he thought was a great relationship until he realizes that that relationship really was a little too toxic for him. So let's get into it, man. Sarah Marshall and Peter Breder, respectfully played by Kristen Bell and Jason Segel, are the pretty much the focus of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And Peter is, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's this, like, man-child. You know what I'm saying? He's a great composer. He does all the music for this, like, CSI slash Law & Order type TV show that Sarah Marshall is the star of. And everything is going good. He's loving his life. But then it's this, it's, I guess, Sarah Marshall has this moment of clarity where she realizes that her and Peter shouldn't really be together. And this scene is probably one of the wildest scenes in a movie that I've ever seen. So she comes in. My man is eating cereal. He's supposed to clean up, take a shower, and all that. He finally does that. He's getting out the shower. He opens his towel and just slaps his dick side to side.
He says, "I got a surprise for you."
Yeah, that shit was crazy, bro. And as she's coming home, she's like, "Nah, nah, put that up." You know what I'm saying? I feel like we should break up. So she break up with him in that moment. Now, that is a wild way to get broken up with. Here you are trying to flash your piece, thinking, you know what I'm saying, you about to get popping. And then, boom. Everything around you. So, I really don't know how we going to break this down, bro. Because to me, it's so many funny moments in this movie. And so many different things that happen where it's just like, I don't really want to go like piece for piece. I would rather just go like with the characters. Is that cool?
Yeah, we can go with the characters and the funny moments, man. Because trying to break this down is not gonna be funny that way. It's not gonna be funny that way.
So let's get into Peter, man. So Peter is, like I said, he's the composer, he's the guy who gets broken up with. And once he gets broken up with, he is in like this fucking slump. And watching this, I had to laugh because I seen this TikTok that was like, if a girl breaks up with me, I want to go through a rom-com breakup. Because he was like, somehow in a rom-com breakup, you get all your bills paid. You know what I'm saying? You still get your job. Everything is going great. But somehow you just sitting in the house. You ain't took no shower. You ain't cleaned up or nothing. You know what I'm saying? You just going through a funk. And your friends finally come through and was like, man, what's going on here? Like, you know what I'm saying? They just break in and try to, you know what I'm saying, help you out. But even still, like, through all that, all the bills is paid. You ain't lost no money for real. You still got money to go do stuff. I don't understand how it works in a rom-com, but somehow it's always in it. But Peter, man, he's like this, like I said, he's a man child. Like, he still eats cereal, you know what I'm saying? He don't wash his dishes, he don't clean up behind himself. This dude is really a wild character. What did you think about Peter in this movie?
Peter was the guy that fits like that stereotype of, you know what I'm saying? Even the whole scene of where she called him and was like, yo, she basically on the way. And then he got to start, you know what I'm saying, throwing shit around and trying to clean the place up real quick. And it's just like, you know, like the guy that, like, now the one thing I did like about Peter, and I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you why I knew Sarah was the wrong person for him, right? She was the wrong person for him when he played her the Dracula song. And she was just like, yo, don't ever play that shit to me again. Like, no support whatsoever.
Dreams and everything.
And so now he is, you know what I'm saying, afraid to play it in front of other people because she killed his fucking confidence. You know what I'm saying? You know, until we get to Rachel. But Peter was also just going along with life, had a job, he was getting paid for it, whatever. Then I don't really get the whole, Peter didn't have one friend throughout this whole show. All he had was his stepbrother that wasn't even really his brother. And he tried to give us advice and he checked him. That's how you check your brother or stepbrother in any situation. When that motherfucker said, yo, he said, yo, Sarah's better than Liz. He's like, yo, do you really want to do this right now? He's like, you really want to do this right now? He was like, I forget what he called Sarah. But he was saying that she was a bitch. Yeah, he did. He said she was a bitch. Yeah. And he was just like, she's way better than Liz and all this type shit. And he was like, man, he's like, you're my brother. He's like, he said, you're my stepbrother. We're not even blood.
Hey, shout out to Bill Hader, bro, because he killed that role, bro.
He did, because he's nerdy, mm-hmm. but it's not like the he's not a super nerd. But he's nerdy, but it's funny.
Right.
Like when they was in the club, he was like, yo, he said, man, why did you bring me here? He's like, he said, I feel like I'm going to get, what did he say? Was it herpes? What the fuck did he say?
Yeah.
No, he was like, I'm going to get an STD just sitting there. He said, it smells like, he said, it smells like stripper cologne in here. the whole club scene, funny as fuck, because he was just like, yo, he was talking to the girls, like, I find both of you girls very attractive. He said, I would love to take you home. He said, but I'm not. He was like, what was the Bill Hader's name? It was Brian. Brian was like, whoa, pump the brakes. He said, pump the brakes, big guy. And that shit worked, dude.
Yeah.
That shit worked. That motherfucker took the girl home anyway.
That's how it worked.
Partner and start crying.
Yeah, that's how it worked. Which is crazy. Yo. He was on top of her, wasn't he?
No, he was done. He was just laying on the bed. So they both were laying on the bed, kind of like looking up. And then he just started crying.
Man, that's
like hard crying. Not just tears running. I'm talking about like he's crying like a baby. Like he was a big baby. Oh yeah. Nah. Like Peter was, but this is another thing. Mm-hmm. I think Peter looked at Sarah as out of his league.
Yeah.
So he put everything into that shit. Was like, yo, I got this fine ass girl that everybody likes and this and that and this and that. And I think that he knew. First of all, let's be real. You look at both of them, you hadn't noticed it was coming.
Nah, not really, bro, because I'm gonna be honest with you. I wouldn't have been like if I seen Kristen Bell with Jason Segel in real life, I wouldn't be shocked.
Well, Sarah, in real life, Kristen Bell is married to what's his name, Dak.
Dak's Shepherd.
Is it Shepherd? Yeah. I thought it was Shepherd.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm not shocked. Like that makes sense. That's what I'm saying. That shit makes sense to me, bro. Dak Shepherd seems like he would be a Peter Breder in real life.
Wow, that's hilarious. I like how we full circle that. That's hilarious. Man, yes, that's
crazy, bro.
Yeah, you're all right. Because Kristen Bell, she's cool. I mean, yeah. She's a good looking woman and everything, but you know, mm-hmm. When it comes to me, it's just
man. Let me tell you something. If you're talking about a movie with a upgrade, this is the one. Because let me tell you something real quick, man. Don't get me wrong, Kristen Bell is cool and all, but like she like vampire movie sexy.
Wow. Okay, yeah. I need to hear this comparison.
Like, for instance, right? Like, old girl that was in Underworld.
Kate Beckinsale.
Kate Beckinsale is way finer in Underworld than she is in any of the movie. You are going to be hard pressed to find a movie where she's sexier than what you see in Underworld.
Okay, yeah, when you put it that way, okay.
Kristen Bell also is one of those people who, if you put her like in a vampire movie, she's going to be, as a vampire, she's going to be way sexier than she will be in anything else. The girl who played in Twilight, right? She's way more attractive in Twilight than she's going to be in anything else.
Yeah, Kristen Stewart.
So she's like vampire movie sexy. She's not like sexy.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Like her sexy,
I like this
caveat. So for me, like when I see her, she's a very attractive woman. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not looking at her like, damn, like man, she look good. Yeah. Like Sarah Jessica Parker, for instance. she has to play a certain role in order to look good. Like, if she don't play the high sedity role, she's not going to look good. If she playing like the soccer mom role, she's going to look horrible.
You know what? I like where you're going here.
I'm just saying.
I like this.
I'm saying.
I like this. Because I feel like, okay.
She could play anything. She actually has, like, real live sex appeal. So, like, anything she's in, she's going to be sexy.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that.
So yo, yeah, upgrade.
That whole scene where when Sarah came up to her, asked her what about the sushi places, and so she got to show her on the map, and like she was like looking at her. Yo, that shit was convincing. I think even yeah. Kristen Bell was looking at her like, damn, she fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, damn, man, Peter now upgraded on me. Sure. But nah, like Peter's character was cool as fuck, man. His character became cool as fuck. Like throughout the movie, he was a downer through the whole damn movie.
Absolutely.
Until he finally got some, you know what I'm saying, from Rachel. Then, you know what I'm saying, the cool, cause like he had spots where he was cool. You know what I'm saying? Like when he was getting drunk at the bar. And that motherfucker pulled that banana out of that drink. He was like, not us, buddy, not us.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I was like, yo, that's a weird ass fucking joke to say to somebody you never met in your whole entire life.
Quick question.
But what's up?
Is it just me, or does he seem like his character in this the same character as he played in How I Met Your Mother?
I couldn't answer that for you because I didn't watch that show.
Really?
I thought you was about to say, not 40-year-old virgin, knocked up. I thought you was about to say knocked up. Because I felt like
I'm trying to remember they were him and knocked up.
Similar. Where he was the one trying to go after Leslie Mann the whole time. But they was trying to do that website where they were just
where they was getting all the boobs on the movies and stuff.
Yeah,
which is a great idea, by the way. That's an actual website in real life. I forgot what it's called. Well, I didn't forget. I'm just not gonna say it out loud. But that's a real website in real life. So shout out to them for being able to do that, because that's a very conducive website to every man's life that they should have bookmarked. By the way.
Okay, so tell me how was he in How I Met Your Mother?
So in How I Met Your Mother, like, he's just like this in How I Met Your Mother. In How I Met Your Mother, I think he's a lawyer instead. But it's the same thing. Like, he's a man child in How I Met Your Mother. And his wife is named Lily. I forgot who the girl is, that player, but her name is Lily. And I think his name is Peter in that one too. Hold on, if I'm not mistaken. But it's literally the same character, bro. I promise you. Like, if you watch this and you see him in How I Met Your Mother, you'll be like, oh, this is the same person. The only different role I really like seen him in as far as like acting is Winning Time.
Yeah. And it was interesting even seeing him play a coach. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. In a timepiece. Because I'm so used to seeing him as this character, because he is very similar to this character in Knocked Up. I keep wanting to say 40-year-old virgin, but he was similar in Knocked Up. Sex Tape. I feel like that was the same thing. You know what I'm saying? When he did Sex Tape with Cameron Diaz.
His name was Marshall in How I Met Your Mother.
Yo, he done had some, you know what I'm saying, some fire women throughout the years as girlfriends in these movies. But I appreciated him in Shrinking though.
Okay.
Yeah, he did a really good job in Shrinking. But oh man, I forgot about that. The fifth year, the 5-year engagement that he did with Emily Blunt. And see, he was a chef in that movie. But like, yeah, like he usually plays that same character. You
like
know what?
Old childish nigga.
You know, it kind of reminds me of another actor that kind of, like, mirrors what we're talking about. Vince Vaughn. I feel like Vince Vaughn was like the same character in The Breakup. He was the same character in Couples Retreat.
He played himself in every movie.
Yeah, it's like it's the same thing, like pretty much every time. Now he mastered it. Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with it. He mastered it, and I feel like Jason Segel's kind of done the same thing. Right. So I appreciated the growth in Peter. But yeah. You know what I'm saying? There was some of it was just like, all right, dude, man, you gotta get over this girl, man. He had the right idea in the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Where he was just like, yo, like, he's like, I can't stop thinking about Sarah having sex with somebody else, so I just gotta have sex with other people. It's just the fact that he had, like, the awkward sex. That's the one thing about, like, being single when you're older. Mm-hmm. Like, that whole little dating process, you know what I'm saying? When you having sex with other people and shit, and you don't really know them like that. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you remember the one scene where he was having sex with the girl, and she was like, hi. He was like, hi. And she was like, hi.
Yeah,
like,
man.
It's like, yo, man, you shut up, man.
Crazy, though. You got to instantly pull out. Like, nah, I can't do this. Vince, so, okay, me, I don't do that. I spin the block.
Well,
I spin the block. I don't go to nothing new. It's too dangerous out here to go to anything new.
I mean, it'd be like that.
You don't know what you're gonna get. It's literally like a box of chocolates out here.
Yo, he did not get a fucking Forrest Gump goddamn comparison. Yo, man, listen. Sarah Marshall. Listen, man.
Dirt bag.
Top quality dirt bag. You know what I mean? Now, when we finally got her reasonings, I understood her reasoning when he said that you didn't try. Yeah. I get that. But at the end of the day, in the damn relationship, yo, yeah. Don't fucking continue this shit for a whole fucking year where you fucking this dude that fuck everything that walks. And and then you coming back, you know what I'm saying, to Peter trying to fix this shit. Like, nah, yo, like.
How was that not caught, though? That's the thing, right? Like, because this movie came out in 2008, so, like, TMZ was popping. TMZ was, like, one of the main things. They had a TV show on TV and shit. How did they not know that Sarah fucking Marshall and Aldis Snow was smashing each other? Like, no paparazzi was around to see none of that. And Aldis Snow was huge at this time.
Yeah, because he had the one track. Damn. I knew I was going to forget. It was like We Are the World type of song. No. See, he debuted that song in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Which we got to talk about that later because I got a good one for you. Okay. But he has something like this We Are the World type of song. It was some kind of Yeah, you stupid, man. It was
horrible.
It was something where it's like trying to bring everybody together type of shit. Yeah. But he was, because they did the E thing.
Yeah.
Where they talked about Sarah Marshall and they talked about her dating Peter. And then after they got done talking about them, then they showed, what's his name? Aldis Snow. And he was doing the video, kissing everybody and humping air and shit.
We tried to do a video about saving the world.
Yeah, he helping people. Nuns walking past him, he tonguing them down and shit. It's like, what the fuck, man? Man, you fucking stupid. Oh, he did it.
This nigga Russell Brand is crazy, bro.
Yo, when we get to him, that's when this podcast is gonna wrap up for me, cause he fucking turned this movie completely upside down.
Wild.
But nah, man, Sarah, she was straight up dirtbag, man. And then like the whole and I'm glad that she seen her dirtbagness, if that's even a word. When Aldis Snow came in with that fucking see-through black shirt on, she was like, oh, I thought you was gonna wear the shirt I got you. And he was just like, I thought about it, but I just felt that this kind of fits for the night. And so she has all the things in her head when she bought Peter shit, and everybody was insulted and shit he was wearing. She started crying. Yo, man, dirtbag. Why are you buying this man this fucking ugly ass purse, man purse he had on, that stupid ass hat when he went to the club, and that lady said, like your hat.
That was horrible. That hat was horrible, bro.
That hat was terrible. And that lady said, she said, nice hat. He was like, thank you, my girlfriend got it. She was like, I'm kidding. That hat is trash, my guy. Like,
that's funny as fuck, bro.
Yeah, man, Sarah's a dirtbag, man. Like, she, you know, man, I didn't fuck with Sarah. And then she pulled the one move, man. And girls, we got to talk about this, man.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many times I have dealt with this in my personal life where it's like, you know what I'm saying? They got you, shit didn't work out the way it planned. And then you see somebody else creeping in, but then you want to. Then you want to be, I'm saying, you want to act up. You know what I'm saying? That dinner, that whole dinner scene. When we get there, I'm
yeah.
When they sat down together,
mm-hmm.
You want to talk about comedy, man? It was so many comedy scenes, and just that scene, that sit down.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Sarah, well, I mean, let's get to it, man. So in the scene where they sit down, first off, Peter wasn't with that shit.
He said it to be nice, thinking that she was going to say no.
Yeah, he really wasn't with that shit, bro. Like, that's one of them things where you know what I'm saying? You a gentleman, you still got love for her, you know what I'm saying? You just, hey, why don't we chill? Why don't we do this together? And then deep down inside, you hoping she like, nah, I'm cool. So you could be like, oh, well, I tried.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he thought was going to happen, but...
yeah.
And then he was like, I was just being nice. I thought, he said, I didn't think in 100 years she was like, yes. And she was like, I did. Yeah. Because she saw her when she asked her about the sushi shit. She mm-hmm. saw that her crying. She's like, oh, yeah, she still ain't over this dude. Mm-hmm. So she knew that she would say yes, but Peter had no idea.
Right.
And, man, when they get to talking about that fucking movie that she was in. Oh, there's no sense. Oh, there's no sense. He said, why would a mobo phone kill someone? Why does a mobo phone have an agenda?
Crazy.
Hey, I'm talking about that shit was comedy, bud. And they said, all you gotta do is take the battery out of the phone. And Peter said, this is my favorite part of the phone. He said, hello.
Hey, she was sorry as fuck, bro.
Hey, she was mad, bro. She was mad, man. They were clowning her, man, because that damn movie that she did. She did a B movie, man.
That movie was like The Mist.
Yeah, the Mist, and also like Friend Request. She was stupid as fuck.
I ain't never seen Friend Request.
It was like a based around like Facebook, like basically like motherfuckers was like accepting a friend request from people or some shit and they end up killing their ass. Like it was
oh man, get the fuck out of here. You was dying for a friend request on, just delete it.
Yeah. And just like he said, turn the phone off. Yeah, like that's the whole point of why they were clowning the fucking movie. And then when my man said, when he was sitting there talking about just basically said how he could fuck whatever, whenever he wants. And so he spilled the Drake on his shirt. He's like, oh no, not the shirt. Take my eyes, not the shirt. She said, why don't you go get a towel and wipe the shirt? He's like, well, I kind of made improvements.
That shirt was trash, bro.
That shirt. No, when he saw the old man wearing it, and he gave it a
he was mad than a motherfucker. I can't believe that bitch out here wearing his bullshit.
Hey, fuck that, man. You gotta tell your girl, man, when she buy you something that ain't cool, man. You gotta tell her. You know why you end up like Peter?
Yeah, it's like me, man.
Yeah, you're gonna end up like Peter. Peter had to deal with that shit for 5 years, my guy.
Word. He liked that shit though. That was the difference.
Yeah.
Because he liked her. He fucked with her. So of course he goes, yes. You know what I'm saying? He thought that shit was dope. But in real life, nah, man. When your girl gets you something sometimes, that shit be ass. I used to hate Father's Days, birthdays, and Christmas. Fuck that shit, man. That shit used to be ass. Get t-shirt and really something. Meanwhile, you buying $200 purses and all kind of cool shit. Come to you, all you get is socks and a t-shirt and hats and shit. Stupid shit.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, speaking of, Mother's Day is coming up. I want to talk about this. Mother's Day is coming up, right? And if you are a mother out there and you have somebody that's playing father, or if you actually have somebody that's the actual father in your life, okay? Pay attention to what he gets you. Pay attention. Pay strong attention to what he gets you. And really pay attention to it. Maybe it's something that you wanted, or maybe it's something that you didn't expect and it's real extravagant. Give that same energy on Father's Day, okay? Don't go get that nigga a tie. Don't go get him no socks. Don't go get him none of that weak-ass cologne. Don't get him none of that stupid shit. Get him something that he really cares about. Get him a $300 gift card for the video game or something. I don't know, but make sure it counts. Don't get no bullshit, bro, because it's been a long, long time since I got something cool on Father's Day. And it wasn't even from her. It was like from my mom or something. I think one Father's Day, my mom bought me like a new stereo, which is fire. I still got that stereo, by the way. But outside of that, bro, like, make sure you get him something that means something to him. Don't go get him no bullshit shirt that got his favorite team on it or something like I used to get. That shit don't count. We don't want that shit. We don't want that shit. We could buy that shit on our own. The reason we don't have it is because we didn't like it when we seen it in the store. Just real quick, I had to get that out there because I'm sick of this shit. It's bad, bro. Mother's Day is during school.
Anybody who won the Ohio State shirt, you went past that bitch about 20 times.
Bro, I'm telling you, the motherfucker just said Buckeyes on it and shit. Like, it wasn't nothing extravagant. It was horrible. And then next thing you know, I open up a present and see that motherfucker be mad in the bitch, bro. Like, you know what? Fuck this, man. If I could tell you just the shit that I bought because I thought it was like cool to buy, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is how I feel Peter would feel if he was realizing how much of a dirtbag Sarah Marshall was. He would realize, because I'm sure Peter bought her like real cool shit, right? Like a foot massager. Or it's like some shit that she could really use, or like some shit that she really need. You know what I'm saying? Peter was getting weak shit, bro. That hat, hey, he should have never got that hat.
Yo, she bought him the container to put the cereal in it because he would never close the thing all the way, come man. On, so Peter said, now I got the freshest cereal.
see how you got to make that shit sound cool? Like cool shit. Already is cool. You don't have to put no advertisement on it. You gotta advertise them motherfucking containers, bro.
Hey, but that was funny as fuck, but
like you a grown ass man with cereal in containers. That's not a good thing. That's not a good thing, bro. Fuck out of here.
Especially, it ain't no kids in there either. Yeah,
that's me, man. Nah, bro. Like she could have bought that nigga a new keyboard, a new microphone or something. Nah, she ain't do none of that cool shit. Maybe a new stool to sit down at the keyboard. She ain't do none of that shit, bro. She ain't care about that, man.
Hey, man. I'm gonna tell you who cared about somebody though. Matthew the Waiter cared about artists, boy. Artists know, because that motherfucker, man, yeah. He came up to him. He said, I got coconut cake and wine. He said it's definitely from the hotel. It's not from me. It's from the hotel.
Shout out to Jonah Hill, bro.
Hey, they sitting there having a whole argument, and my man just come up there with this shit. And so they actually hear them having an argument, and she storms off, and he think it's the best time to be like, "Look, I got this demo tape." He said, "I want you to listen to this demo tape." And he was like, "No, I'm just gonna get to my favorite part." He said, this motherfucker said, he was a major influence on me. And I missed out, it would be terrible.
Hey, not for nothing. Not for nothing. You have a great British accent, by the way.
Hey, I'm weak, boy. It get me every time, boy.
Not a bad, that shit get me every British time, accent, bro.
Hey, I've been working on that shit.
It paid off. I will give you credit. It paid off.
Oh my God, it be terrible. Hey, that motherfucker spilled that. He spilled that drink on him. He came over there. He was like, "I saw it from across the room," and he started patting down by the dick. He was like, "Man, it's not even down there."
Wild, bro. Hey, Jonah Hill has done some wild shit in movies.
Oh, definitely.
He has done some wild shit in movies. I will give him credit though, because he had the greatest role of all time.
Oh, I know you about to say Superbad, bro. Oh, Grandma's Boy, yeah.
Amazing role. Sign me up.
Cha-ching.
Yeah, I'm there.
Like, how much is this? Oh, man. Oh, this man, we really ain't got nothing to pay you. Cool.
Yeah, I did it for free. I'm just stuck in the boob? Yeah, don't worry about it. This is for the culture. Yeah, this is for the culture. This is like a whatever they call that shit that you pre-acting shit, whatever they call it. This is that. I'm just here just to get insight. But
okay, so
let's get to Rachel, man. Let's talk about Rachel. You know,
okay, hold on, because we were talking about all this note. We're gonna do Rachel, but so I said I had something for you, and I need to know what's better. Okay. So Otis Snow was called up on stage by Matthew the waiter. He didn't want to do the song, but he's like, "All right, let me go out there and do it." So he do the whole "Inside of You" song. You know what I'm saying? How he loves to be inside of you. Yeah. All that little shit, right? So he does that in front of Cyril, and Peter was there. Peter got in his feelings and walked off, right? But this ain't the first time we've seen this.
Right.
And I want to know which song is better, the "Inside of You" song or "Scotty Doesn't Know That Fiona Be Doing It My Bed."
What? "Scotty Doesn't Know That Fiona and Me Do It In My Bed Every Sunday." Come on, bro. What are you talking about? Hey. Scotty doesn't know. Oh, my goodness. You talking about a breakout hit?
Yeah.
Speaking of diss tracks. Nigga, that was
I'm just about to say that.
Bro, they at the club all the way in Amsterdam. That ain't got nothing to do with America. That shit came on. Hey, man. That shit
they did
classic,
that song,
bro,
in a different language, boy. Yeah. Like that song hit, that song slapped so hard they did that shit in another language, boy.
"Scotty Doesn't Know" is a fucking certified banger, bro. You can play that, can play that anytime around me. I'm with it.
Oh yeah. If y'all if y'all don't know, that's Euro Trip. Yeah. And it didn't hit me until I watched it this time. So I'm sitting there watching the Inside of You. And Sarah's right there, Peter's right there. And I'm like, you know what? Like, Scotty got hit with the same shit. Like, Scotty was just at a party.
That's what Drake need to drop. "Scotty Doesn't Know."
Kendrick doesn't know.
Come on, man. You talking about get back? That's the one.
I wasn't going to say the name because I don't want Kendrick to have a problem.
Oh, yeah. I didn't say that. That's what I'm saying. I'm team S that, but I'm also team K dot. Yeah, I don't want no problem.
Oh man, no, but I thought about that, man. I said,
"My goddamn son, fuck that."
Yo, but you said, "Little Mark."
Yeah, you said, "Dear Little Mark, nothing, brother. Fuck that."
Oh man, but I was thinking about that. I said, man, I gotta ask him, man. I knew where you was gonna go. Oh, I knew you were gonna go. Scotty doesn't know.
Speaking, we gotta put Eurotrip on the list because that shit is
we did weird. Eurotrip already.
We did?
Yeah.
Why do I gotta go back and look then? Bro, we done did so many fucking episodes, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean I'll double check, but I know we did.
We almost coming Euro up trip. On 400, ain't we?
Yeah, we coming up on 400.
Yeah, just to let y'all know, man, we got
we did Euro trip April 5th, 2021.
Okay, yeah, yo, that's crazy, bro. That means that we watched down there 400 movies, TV shows,
dude. It ain't even, yeah, TV shows because, like, this episode that we're doing today is 362.
And we still got like eight or nine in the tuck on Patreon. That's crazy.
Yep. So we've been potting our ass off. Yeah, but we did do Euro Trip. We had a good time with that one.
Euro Trip is that shit. That was good. You talk about a funny movie. That this is one of those ones that's up there with Euro Trip for sure.
Yeah, because it's in that bag. It's kind of the same nostalgia in a way. Because I mean, damn. You really got the same scene. So he doing slow song, but Scotty doesn't know the rap.
I got even better
rock song.
I got an even better one for you. Scotty doesn't know. Inside of You or Bangers and Mash from Get Him to the Greek.
I've never seen Get Him to the Greek.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't watched it. I just found out recently, not too long ago, that the movies. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, August Snow and Jonah. August Snow reprises his role in that. I mean, Russell Brand reprises his role as August Snow, and then Jonah Hill is also in it. He's also the co-star, but he plays a totally different role. But man, when I
he's not Matthew the Waiter?
No, he's
not. Oh, a totally okay. Different
dude. But he works for a record company, and guess who runs the record company?
Oh shit! Hold on, wait a minute. Is it somebody? That's a part. Get the fuck out of here.
Let me tell you something. Before all these allegations, when I tell you Diddy was hilarious in this shit, bro, hey man. Yeah, he could have did all right in some movies. Diddy did his thing. Now I'm gonna give him a pass for Carlito's Way too, because that shit was horrible. But
yeah, that shit was bad.
Yeah, but Get Him to the Greek he did all right in that one.
Okay.
That nigga said, I got, that nigga, he was on the phone with him, when Jonah Hill was on the phone with him, and he was like, I don't give a fuck what you do. He said, you get that motherfucker coked up, get him on the plane, and get his ass here now. He said, but you better get him to this fucking venue, or we gonna lose money, and you gonna be fired. And he was like, shit, I got 12 kids to feed. And then he had all the kids in the house. And then he closed the refrigerator door and the Biggest Loser is on TV. And he was like, oh, shit, y'all know daddy's favorite is Biggest Loser Time. It's Biggest Loser Time. Oh, I don't know why that shit was so funny to me, bro. But that shit was hilarious. he had a Kobe jersey on. Yeah, that scene was crazy.
Yo, that's crazy. Oh man, but I had to get that out, man. So you was on Rachel. So what's up, Rachel?
So Rachel is this she to me at least, she's this very innocent character, right? Like she's like this real pure character. She's had like a real questionable past, like she's done some things in the past that, you know what I'm saying, don't really seem like some shit that she would do. But ultimately she's a very good person, right? Like her whole thing, she kind of sees what's going on between Sarah and Peter, and she understands what Peter's going through. She's trying to help Peter out. She done assembled the team, you know what I'm saying? Like she done got everybody together to kind of help Peter, you know what I'm saying? Like show off so Sarah could kind of feel bad about the way she did. And ultimately she's seen how good of a guy Peter was, even though this nigga's a fucking 30-year-old, 7-year-old. So she sees, you know what I'm saying? Like, this dude ultimately is really, like, a real cool dude. You know what I'm saying? He likes cool shit. He's into all this different stuff. He likes to party and shit like that. but he really knows love. Like, he really loves hard. You know what I'm saying? He's a good guy. And she sees that in him from the get-go. You know what I'm saying? She even gave him a break when he was trying to get the room and he couldn't afford the room. And she was like, well, I'll let you, you know what I'm saying? I'll let you get it. Don't worry about it. So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It would seem like that he wasn't, you know what I'm saying, like down and out. It was like, oh, you know, I'm here chilling too. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know you was going to be here. So I thought that was a cool move from her to, you know what I'm saying, be able to pull that off, even though she wasn't supposed to, and she could have risked her job for it. But that just let me know, like, oh, yeah, she really about that life. Like, she really fucked with Peter.
Yeah. And also with her, you know, following a dude there, they break up, and she's just like, oh, you know, I dropped out of school. You know what I'm saying? Come down here with you to follow your dream. You know what I'm saying? I think she said, yeah, he was a surfer. Like, he wanted to be like a pro surfer. And then they break up. And I guess she was just like, damn, I know, quit school and all this type of stuff. So I'm just going to stay down here and just live. You know what I'm saying? With, like, not no rules, but just with no expectations, basically. Right. She was just like, fuck school, fuck going back to the mainland. I'm just going to stay here, work for this hotel, and just live it up in Hawaii. So she kind of had that. You know what I'm saying? That free attitude of like whatever. Like, I don't, like, I'm not worried about my future right now. This is just me just living my life and having a good time and just happened to run into Peter. And she's just, and I agree with you. I think she saw a guy who, you know what I'm saying, was down and out and just happened. And then to see the whole thing go down when he sees Sarah, it was like, oh, well, that's my ex-girlfriend and all this type of shit. We just broke up. And then Sarah come up, and then all this folk come up and be like, anybody see a shoe? He said, just like his mate. he's like, it's the other one. He said, it's the twin, but the other foot or something. A lot of fucking dumbass shit he said. Yeah. I was like, yo, this dude, that is a great way to introduce this dude to the movie.
That's exactly like who he is throughout the whole movie. And that's the one thing I did like about them making the Aldous Snow character. Like, he's a pompous prick ass rock star.
Yeah,
and he plays it to a T.
That's completely oblivious to, like, just even the scene sitting at the table when he was just like, yo, I feel like I can fuck anybody I want whenever I want. And Sarah was just like, oh, well, he's kidding. He don't really mean that.
Yeah,
and he was like, yes, I do. hey, that scene when they were when Peter was hitting Rachel, and then Sarah gonna wake him up and say, like, tell us to make love to me. He's like, well, you got to get on top because I'm tired. And she get on top, put on that horrible performance, and then he threw her off of him, and then and he was like, yo, that was the worst performance I've ever seen. And she was like, you talking about who's at the table talking about some, she said, oh, bullshit, 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 bullshit. And then she started killing all the tattoos and shit. That's Judaism, that's Buddhism, all this type of shit. She was like, this just make you an asshole. He's like, well, I fucked the man yesterday.
Which is crazy. That's a wild ass response.
Yo, you tell your girl
to do that just so calmly. Like, yeah, well, I fucked the waiter yesterday. Now what? Now what you gonna
do? Well, the housekeeper. I'm sorry, it was the housekeeper. But yeah, he was on some wild shit. But no, I fuck with Rachel, because I'm gonna tell you another reason I fuck with Rachel was because even though she was hanging out with Peter, like, they hung out that one time, whatever. And then she took him back home to his room, and then he go in for the kids, and she was like, yo, I ain't trying to complicate things. Mm-hmm. So she tried to play it cool.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Well, she didn't try to lead him on, because I think she could tell that he's a gullible guy. He's coming off of a bad relationship.
Emotional right now.
Yeah. And so she did play it cool to the fact where she kind of just like, yo, like, you know, just, you know, chill out, because I don't want to, you know, send, you know, mixed signals.
Right.
You know, because it seems like you're that type of guy, even when that's at the table. And my man was saying you can fuck anybody, whatever you want, and all this type of stuff. He was like, oh, well, I think it's nice that you get to know the girl, and all this type of shit. But she was over there, but you could tell her, you know, her pussy was getting wet.
She was like,
I like this type of talk.
For sure.
But nah, Rachel was cool, though. I fuck with Rachel's character.
Yeah, man, I just like the fact that, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, usually in a rom-com, it's usually the woman that's going through everything, right? And they kind of switched it up on us this time and made it the man that was going through everything. So, like, he was really dealing with, on one side, trying to get his girl back, but on the other side, trying to get to know this new girl who ultimately is really better for him. And not only that, is really helping him get over the fact that he just got through a breakup. And at the same time, she's falling in love with him, even though she's trying to be as distant as possible because she don't really want to be hurt, which she kind of get hurt.
And we got to talk about that.
Yeah, because he ended up basically letting his emotions get the best of him and he get back like grooving with Sarah because her and August wasn't feeling each other.
Well, okay, all right. So I'm pretty sure everybody's listening that's probably not seen this movie, but like,
hopefully.
But so he runs into August, and you know they do the whole little scene where he was like, "Yo, he was like that motherfucker compared to Hitler, my guy,"
which is wild.
That was wild as fuck, bud. Yeah, so he's like, you know, he was leaving, going back to London, and then he saw the lady that was picking him up. He's like, I'm gonna fuck that lady. And then he goes and talked to Sarah. And so Sarah was like, you know, she might have made a mistake, and she's like pulling his face and shit. He said, this shit all come. He's like, stop pulling my face close to you. So then she started pulling the shirt. He's like, pulling my shirt, same concept, pulling my face to you.
Right.
So he tried, and then you know, she hit him with the four-letter word, man. And he was like, man, that's not fair, man. Don't say that to me. And so I felt like, you know what I'm saying, in that moment, you know what I'm saying, it was familiarity there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so he fell for it, said, tell me you're sorry. She said, I'm sorry. So they start kissing and stuff. So then, and this is where I tell you, this is where, out of all of the shit that she done throughout this movie, this is where she was a dirtbag to me.
Thanks.
So he's sitting there, and she was like, get hard for me, Peter. And he was like, I know what I'm supposed to do. And she was like, well, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? And he was like, ain't nothing wrong with me. And so then she was like, do you want me to use my mouth? He was like, if you want to.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So then she was like, oh, what's wrong, Peter? You want me to try again? Yeah, you know, if you want to try again. So then she keep hitting him with, yo, like, what's wrong with you? And finally he came to his senses. Ain't nothing wrong with me. He was like, I just realized. I forgot what he said, but yo, the best part, he said, but I realized you're the goddamn devil.
Right.
I was like, yes, Peter, tell that bitch she the devil. And so then he fucking leaves and goes straight to fucking Rachel. And then he tried to be honest. That's what I'm be saying, man. People be wanting honesty out here in these streets.
No,
a man went there and tried to give her honesty, and she still shitted on him.
Right.
When he told her, like, yo, and he was trying to prove his point, as in, yo, I couldn't even get hard for her because now I know I'm over her. And I get the point that he was trying to make, but she was like, nah, fuck that shit. Basically, cheating on me, get out of my face, I don't want to see him. So that's when I felt that she was a dirtbag. Just like how demanding she was and kept telling him something was fucking wrong with him and shit. It's like, bitch, shut up. Ain't nothing wrong with me. You're the goddamn devil. Shit. Okay, I mean,
but that's, I think that's what kind of makes this movie such a good movie, is because, like I said, usually we see this from the female perspective. We actually get to see this from the male perspective. And a lot of times, like, you know what I'm saying, when we go through these situations, we don't understand that mentally, you know what I'm saying, sometimes we break off earlier than we do emotionally. And so I think in that moment, like, that's what that was for him. Like, he realized, like, bro, I've been sitting out here this whole time with Rachel, kicking it with Rachel, having fun with Rachel, doing things that I could never do with Sarah, and now I'm sitting here with Sarah, and it's not the same. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm sure like all the shit that happened flashed back to him. She probably was thinking about her fucking all this. All kind of wild shit we think about when, you know what I'm saying, the ex come back into the picture. And so now he's sitting there, he like, damn, bro, here I am sitting here with this girl that don't really fuck with me. And the only reason we sitting here is because this dude left and he don't fuck with her for real. And I'm leaving this one chick out there that really fucks with me. And I'm just leaving her out there to do it. And I think that was his whole thing of just going and being like, yo, I got to be honest with her. I got to let her know how I really feel. And then, unfortunately, it was just like, it was a fucked up situation. You know what I'm saying? It was just a real fucked up situation. So not only didn't you get no cheeks, you just lost a girl that you didn't get no cheeks for.
I mean, well, he got in the cheeks, but, you know, he just couldn't get the cheeks no more.
You know what I'm
saying? they did the whole game, you know what I'm saying? And that's another thing that makes her cool. She played along with it. Cause they were just fucking regular. And then Sarah wanna start fucking screaming through the damn wall and shit.
No, I ain't talking about getting the cheeks from Rachel. I'm talking about getting the cheeks from Sarah. Like, did he really get the cheeks from Sarah?
No, you know what I'm saying? Exactly.
Like, yeah, it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? It was, I mean, yeah, you know, you got some head and that was cool, but was it really?
Hey, I like the way Dwayne said it. Dwayne said, man, he said he just got the tip.
It's one of them things where it's like, man, you sit there and you look and you like, damn, man, I can't do this. I can't really do this, man. As much as I want to force myself to, I can't do this, man. This ain't right. And so I think that's what he was feeling like. Yo, this is some trash shit. And he's not that type of person. He's not the type of person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I thought that was good for them to put that in there for us to see, like, you know, this is actually, he's really a good dude at heart. As much as, you know what I'm saying, as much as he loves this woman, and as much as he wants to get back with her, he can, you know what I'm saying, he finally realizes that she's not the one for him.
Yeah, and I thought that scene was, I think that it depends on who you ask. I think a lot of people would probably say it was problematic, but I think that for him and the situation that he was in and how heartbroken he was in, I think he needed that moment to happen. I think that's what finally got him over her, was the fact of he thought he wanted her back, but you know what I'm saying, his mind, because you know how they always say, oh man, you know, you think it with the other head. In this situation, he couldn't think with the other head. You know what I'm saying? Like, all he could think was his own mentals, and his other head was like, fuck this bitch. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't even trying to get in there. Mm-hmm. So I thought that, you know, he needed to have that, but, and I get it. Oh, it's still technically cheating and all that type of shit. But then, him and Rachel never said that they, that's what I'm saying. They were like, they like spending time with each other, but then at the same time, y'all ain't even communicate this shit. So what? Are you coming back to LA?
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Like,
Is he staying in Hawaii? I mean, like, what's going on?
Exactly. It's a situation that y'all haven't even really talked this part of it through yet. So it's like, for her to get mad the way that she did, it was like, yo, don't ever talk to me, don't ever contact me, and all this type of shit. It's like, well, damn, like, y'all haven't even really talked. We're going to have a long-distance relationship. You're going to stay here in Hawaii. And I was.
This is the thing, too, right? Like, you could kind of see it from both perspectives, because her whole thing was she was pretty much, like she said, she didn't want to complicate things. She was enjoying her time kicking it with him and being friends with him, but ultimately, like, she was just falling in love with this dude. And finally, when she just let it go and actually fell in love with him and, you know what I'm saying, they had sex and, you know what I'm saying? Like, she felt like she could really trust him. Because remember, she was talking about how the surfer did her and how she had her picture of her boobs up on the in the bathroom and all this other stuff. And like, so it was real tough for her to trust somebody in that moment. So you can kind of understand that. So when he comes to her and he says, you know, I almost had sex with her, but then I realized that, you know, it ain't for me, you're the one that I want. And he breaks it down to her, and then she's sitting there like, wait a minute, like, that's what made you realize that, you know what I'm saying? Like, all the things that we've done kicked it, we done had sex, we done laughed and drank, and we had all these moments, and that moment right there is the one that you realize that you want to be with me. So I understood her on that for sure.
Yeah, Oh yeah, yeah, I do. I mean, look, this is a podcast. Like,
yeah, for sure.
I mean, I'm not, because I ain't gonna be feeling that shit either. Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I mean, y'all about to do it. Like, I mean, I wouldn't be cool with it, but like, but her forgiving him in the end, like,
yeah,
yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that shit's fine. Yeah, yeah, most definitely.
Let's go ahead and get into it, man. Let's do the fire flames, brother.
Let's do it.
Yoga fire, yoga flame.
All right, man, what you giving this?
Okay, man, the cast was fire. Oh, I appreciate it, man. This cast was so fire, we didn't even get in the Chuck, man, which was played by Paul Rudd. Yo, that shit was funny. That motherfucker said, "What's your name?" He's like, "Peter." He said, "Let me give you a Hawaiian name." He was like, Pika. I like the part where he said when he got the reef in his leg, and he was like call the front desk and all the you sound like you but not that.
Wow.
That shit funny, man. So I mean, we, like I said, we went through this whole movie, didn't even mention Paul Rudd. That should tell you like the cast was fire in here. Super funny. It has, even the emotional parts are funny. Russell Brand completely took over the movie with his character. I'm gonna give this movie a 4.5, man. I've always fought with Forget Sarah Marshall, man. It's just one of those rom-coms that really, in that time period, to that 2008 time period, where you had all of the movies with Jason Segel and Jonah Hill and Paul Rudd, like all that shit that they were doing around that time, because they was popping at this time. I mean, there was just shit coming out back to back. Yeah,
Seth Rogen, so, right, all them, they was killing.
Yeah, they was killing it. So yeah, I'm gonna give this a 4.5.
Cool, man. So for me, I enjoyed the cast. I thought the cast was amazing. The acting was on point. The comedy, of course, was there everywhere throughout the movie. I'm gonna have to go one step below you, though. I'm gonna go 4, only because in some of the moments, I like Russell Brand. I, like you said, Russell Brand stole the show, but it was a little too much Russell Brand for me. You know what I'm saying? And in certain parts, like, he went a little too extra. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was certain stuff in there where I was just like, this don't need that much Russell Brand. We need more Jason Segel. We need more of his, you know what I'm saying, more of him on screen. So that's just me, but yeah, I'm going to go 4.
Okay, yeah. We could have missed out on that scene where he had my man humping the chess pieces.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, we didn't need that. But yeah,
even the scene where they was having sex and they was doing all the wild-ass poses, like that was unnecessary. we didn't need that.
Yes. But,
let's go ahead and get into the coming soon, man.
Let's do it.
Coming soon to own on video and DVD.
All right. The next one we're going to get into is going to be a thrill seeker, man. This is an epic battle of major proportions between the Great Ape and the Giant Lizard. That's right. We're doing King Kong and Godzilla, the New Empire. I haven't seen this one yet. I'm excited to see it. I heard some great things about it. I heard this one has a lot of monsters in it, you know what I'm saying, that we haven't seen yet. So I'm definitely excited to see that part. So yeah, the last few movies have been great, especially that last one. I thought that last one was dope. Even though they had the defibrillate King Kong, which was crazy, but you know what I'm saying, it they found a way to make it work. So yeah, I'm excited to see that one.
Ooh, like I said, I mean, like you said, I haven't seen it either. So I mean, the last thing I did see, I did finish Monarch, which was the show on Apple TV Plus about this whole thing. But if you haven't seen the three other movies, you know, it's going to be a little off for you. You know what I'm saying? I've seen a lot of people killing Kong versus Godzilla because they didn't watch Skulls Island. They didn't watch what, Godzilla, King of the King of the Monsters. Like, yeah, so yeah, it's a series, man. You gotta see the rest of them, but it'll be interesting to watch.
So yeah, make sure you guys get in on that early. That way you can stay abreast of what we're talking about in the episode. But if you like this episode, if you didn't like this episode, if you too would like to hear a live version of Inside of You, hit us up. Let us know on socials, Instagram and Twitter, at View and Non-Pod, Facebook VA Pod Watch Group, and hit us up on the comments on YouTube. I still gotta load the videos up, I know. And then patreon.com/viewersanonymous. Join it. We only got one tier, so you won't be missing out on anything. And if you'd like to follow me personally, you can follow me on Twitter at Scoots Bronson. I got a link tree in my bio. You can follow me everywhere else there.
And y'all can find me at S.Foster8 on Instagram, X, and TikTok. Follow the podcast 28 minutes or less. The last episode is me and my guy went on there. And I mean, we didn't know that the next morning when I was loading this podcast that 2-3 more discs was coming out. But if the glove don't fit, you must have quit. You know what I'm saying? Episode 152 on the 28 minutes or less. Go check that out on all major platforms.
That's right, man. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, your support is greatly appreciated. And without you, there could be no us. And until the next episode, like they say in Hollywood,
that's a wrap.
Cut.